Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You're listening to The Happy Hour with Nick Sainert.
Furby the Fourth ate his first solid food today, prompting a response of nothing but steaks all week for the Nebraska offensive line.
Then Enrique Alvarez Cleary.
No more peaches and carrots for Herbie the Seventh. Baby food be damned.
Sponsored by Empire Fence and Netting on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back into the Happy Hour, 93.7 The Ticket, theticketfm.com. Tomorrow, join us at 1:30. We'll have the voice of UTEP football, John Tyker, on the airwaves, giving us a look into UTEP. Let's talk Nebraska-specific with our good friend Steve Mark of Inside Nebraska, the rival site for the Huskers, who joins us now on the Allo VIP line. What's up, Steve? How's life?
Hey, Nick. I'm doing great.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, Rico. How you doing?
I'm great.
Anyway, great to hear.
Hey, Steve, did you hear the news that the Cubs are above 500?
I had a couple buddies text me that. And so, yeah, I went and looked at their schedule, and a lot of wins going on there. So maybe that momentum is going to play a factor in that wild card race. Let's go.
There's a lot of wins there. Maybe not as many as the Royals, which is kind of bizarre, but a lot of wins and a lot of potential wins coming up for a team that's only like 5 games out of the wild card.
Yeah, it's fun. Whenever there's meaningful baseball being played right now, it's fun stuff. It's just unfortunate it's happening, when college football is starting. So I can't pay attention as much as I used to.
Speaking of meaningful games, what are the odds? And I just kind of want you to run wild with this one. What are the odds that Nebraska is playing meaningful football in November?
Oh, I think the odds are good. I think they are. I think, there's just like we were talking about with the Cubs and their recent wins and gaining momentum, I think when you look at Nebraska's first half of the schedule, I mean, obviously there's a lot of wins out there that you think that they could record. So, there's a lot of talk about 7-0 start, and I could absolutely see that. They'll have to take care of business, obviously, against those teams. But, it hasn't happened a lot where Nebraska goes into a season and there's positive momentum right away. But with this schedule, I think there's absolutely potential for a strong start. And then once you get some wind under your wings and you start feeling good and you start playing some good football and racking up the wins, who knows what happens the rest of the way. So, there's potential for a really strong start. And I like that could produce some meaningful football in November, especially.
We're talking to Steve Mark of Inside Nebraska, the rival site for the Huskers here on game week. It is game week, and UTEP is coming to town on Saturday. I mean, the kind of the biggest story since we saw the depth chart earlier this week, I believe it was Monday, earlier this week, was the fact that the running backs room is just kind of a scramble right now. I think that's a good way to kind of characterize it. And two-part question here. How much do we think Nebraska is going to run the ball versus pass the ball? And then number two is who's that guy in that running back room that you kind of eventually see taking it by the reins?
Yeah. So I think it's a good question. I think, it's always going to be a goal of a Matt Rhule football team, and especially an offense, to run the ball and establish the run. It might look a little different this season with Dylan Raiola back there. He's not that dual threat quarterback that Nebraska has seen in recent seasons. I think they're absolutely against the UTEP defense that, new defensive coordinator, some new pieces coming over from Austin Peay, some FCS All-American pieces coming up from Austin Peay. I think Nebraska kind of looks at that defense and sees the potential to establish a run game early. And I really think that. And, I think you lean on Nebraska's offensive line, hope there's no injuries there because the depth situation is kind of iffy along some spots. But I think there's good potential to establish that run right away. And I think the plan, at least right now, is to once you get that run game going. Once you get those UTEP, the two high looks to turn into one high looks, I think that's, when that play action is going to come to surface and Dylan Rayl is going to show off that big right arm of his and those speedy receivers that Nebraska has. I think they're going to be running down the field in one-on-one situations. And, you know, looking at those guys, I think you like Nebraska's odds. So I think the plan is always going to be to establish a run early and then kind of build the pass game off of that. So I'm excited to see how it turns out.
With that in mind, how much of that is factored in with the identity of UTEP's offense? I mean, we don't know who they're going to put at quarterback, whether it's, and I might get it wrong, it's McConnell or Locklear, I believe, is their two last names.
Yep.
So we don't know which one they're going to go with. To this point, Scotty Walden said earlier this week that he might make the decision by like Wednesday or Thursday, but that they could also still play both guys on Saturday. But anyway, it was kind of like, how much of that is factored into the way Nebraska wants to maybe keep their defense off the field? Because we know how quick and fast paced UTEP is going to try to speed things up against Nebraska.
Yeah, that could absolutely become a factor. And, you know, I thought that as well. Like, you want to keep your defense, your really good defense on the sideline and keep them fresh because it's a long season. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, I always kind of think back to what Matt Rhule talked about when discussing Dylan Raiola and not really holding him back, right? I mean, kind of letting the kid loose and letting him show the world what he can do. And so there's kind of both sides of the fence right there. But I think just with Nebraska having the talent advantage, the old guy advantage, the veteran presence, I could see maybe it not playing as big a factor because Matt Rhule really kind of seemed like he wanted to kind of just let loose and show everyone that the offense is not going to be that disaster that it was last year, especially in the passing game. So yeah, we'll see. I think Nebraska with what they bring back on the offensive line and those four running backs, I think they're going to work to establish the run. And, part of that is going to be keeping the defense fresh because you're right, Nick, Scotty Walden, and that offense is a pace and space offense, man. They're going to want to snap that ball with over 30 seconds left on the play clock. They're going to throw a lot of receiver screens. They're going to want to attack the edges of the field instead of trying to test Nebraska up the middle with all those big old veteran guys and make this a wide receivers versus DB type game. So it's going to be interesting to see how they attack it, but yeah, on one side of the ball, you want to kind of lean on that run game and keep your excellent defense off the field and keep them fresh. But on the other side, you have this quarterback that is unlike any quarterback that has ever been at Nebraska. And you want to kind of show it off and kind of work on things right away and not kind of hold him back. So it'll be fun to watch.
We're speaking with Steve Mark of Inside Nebraska. And Steve, kind of going back to Nebraska's offense in that running back room, we've been having a discussion since the depth chart released with all of the ORs, and I kind of want to get an outsider's take on this. What are your thoughts on the running back by committee approach? I understand that Marcus Satterfield said that he wants to cut it down to two running backs sooner rather than later, but what are your thoughts on the running back by committee and the different running styles and the different things that all of these guys excel at for in that running back room?
Yeah, well, first of all, when you look at the running back room with those four guys, it's a nice mix of what Matt Rhule wants, which is, another way of saying it is like a thunder and lightning type thing where you have these smaller, shiftier backs with guys like Emmett Johnson and Ramir Johnson, but then you also have the bigger 220-plus pound guys, the Hammers, Dante Dowdell, and then Gabe Irvin Jr. So there's a healthy mix, but of course you would prefer to have somebody emerge and become that running back one guy, and obviously nobody has really done that to this point, but I'm not ready to declare freak out mode or anything like that just because it's so early in the season. There is time to sort things out. Obviously you would like to have an answer by now, but like Matt Rhule said, he wants to have an official answer. He wants to know the direction that they are going in the running back room by the time Big Ten play hits, and that's that Friday night Big Ten opener against Illinois inside Memorial Stadium. So if I had to guess, I think maybe Emmett Johnson is the one who might end up at the end of the season with the most carries. But then also I could see Gabe Irvin Jr. and Dante Dowdell kind of if they stay healthy, I think you could see their production kind of increase towards the end of the season, especially in November when, you know, games keep getting colder and, you know, defenses are getting tougher and everybody gets tired. It kind of seems like a good idea to have those 220-pound backs running north-south against defenses. So, yeah, that doesn't mean Ramir Johnson is not going to have a role. I'm sure he will. He can do some specific things really well too, especially on third down. So, you know, they have four guys in the running back room, kind of fighting for touches and everything. And it's going to be fun to see who emerges out of that group. But I think there's plenty of time still. I'm not ready to, kind of freak out about this situation at all. There's still time.
I want to go back to the quarterback. There's obviously going to be a lot of conversations and a lot of eyes on Saturday, not even just around Nebraska, I think around the entire country on Dylan Raiola. I was really fascinated. I mean, we were both in the room on Monday, Steve, where it was like, we are not holding Dylan back. I mean, Matt Rhule saying we. Nebraska is not holding Dylan back. They're not going to, they're not easing him into anything, right? And he said it multiple times and answered it, you know, multiple times to different reporters. And I took that as like walking away going, okay, they just gave us basically permission to where we don't use the freshman excuse with Dylan Raiola. Like, sure, there's going to be growing pains, I guess, or just mistakes, but This is Nebraska's quarterback. Like, you kind of have to treat it like Nebraska's quarterback, and it can't always be the cop-out reason of, well, he's a freshman, let's give him some more time.
Yeah, it really seems that they made a commitment that he is the guy and they're going to ride with him. And I think that's cool, and I think that's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. If you're a coach and you believe that Dylan Raiola is that dude, is that guy, and he's special, which – from everything we've heard, it appears so with this kid. So it's going to be really interesting to see the play selection and how aggressive they are with him back there, especially if they get that traditional handoff run game going and forcing defenses to kind of go in those single high shells. And you know, that's where the magic happens on the outside with those big additions to the receiver room and Jamal Banks and Isaiah Nair. It's you close your eyes, you kind of think about how this thing's going to look, and you have one way of looking at it, and you know, you just hope that it's something that's productive on Saturday and gives the team momentum and, you know, looks nothing like last year, which I'm sure it won't. So it really seems that all the chips are in on this kid, Dylan Raiola. So they're putting trust in him. They're putting faith in him, and they think he's going to, you know, produce. So that's exciting if you're a Husker fan.
We're speaking with Steve Mark of Inside Nebraska. Steve, you know, from one freshman to a few others, looking at the depth chart, one of those names, Dylan Raiola, obviously was not that big of a surprise to many people at it being a starter. But there were a couple other freshmen mentioned on the depth chart that we had heard throughout fall camp, throughout the summer and the spring, as their names being mentioned and how good they were doing in practices. But Vincent Shavers Jr., Amari Sanders, Ja'Cory Barney, to name a few of them. Were you at all surprised to see, you know, probably not Ja'Cory Barney Jr. from how much hype he was getting, but the Vincent Shavers and maybe the Amari Sanders to be listed on the two deep?
Yeah, I was not surprised, just because they had their names dropped by the head coach and their position coaches a lot during the off season. I know Amari Sanders wasn't a spring ball guy. He got here in the summer, but it sounds like, you know, once he got to Lincoln, he started opening eyes. And so I think that's pretty cool. And that's a, you know, a trio of Miami guys right there. So that's also something that you like for the future, with other Miami recruits seeing those guys play right away at Nebraska. I think that could potentially be a really, really cool thing in terms of recruiting. But Amari Sanders, it's, you know, he's going to be one of a lot of guys, you know, kind of rotating through at that corner, seeing what sticks. It's going to be interesting to see with Vincent Shavers. I mean, no, that wasn't really a surprise. Obviously, you know, V9, everybody knows his nickname by now, and, you know, fast, physical, east-west type violent linebacker. I mean, he's everything that you want in a linebacker. And once he kind of figures it out assignment wise and he can start playing as fast as he does and know what he's doing. I mean, that's, I think the coaches are really excited about his potential. And then Ja'Cory Barney, obviously, you know, we know what he can do as a receiver. I'm interested in seeing, you know, what he can be as a return specialist on special teams as well. So, yeah, I mean, not, when you talk about the depth chart, looking at all those things, you know, everybody asks, oh, is there a surprise? I didn't really see a ton of surprises. Maybe in the secondary, in the number two spots at safety and Rover. I mean, Ramir Stewart's an interesting case too. Ramir Stewart did not start fall camp on the 120-man roster. Matt Rhule did not select him to be part of the 120-man crew, but he is there right now, and his name shows up behind Isaac Gifford in that Rover role. But, you know, I wouldn't take the depth chart too seriously also. I mean, there's going to be a lot of rotating. I mean, the coaches really, really like their roster, I feel like, and there a lot of guys are going to get game snaps, you know, if it's a blowout or late in the second half or things like that. So I think there's going to be a lot of different faces on Saturday, and that's exciting too.
All right, Steve, before we get you out of here, a couple prediction stuff going on. Since it's the last time that we'll talk to you before the start of the season, the one question I have, or one of them, is who leads Nebraska in receiving? Is it and is it the same person leads them in catches as they do yards, or is it two different people?
Yeah, fun question there. So I think it's going to be different names. So okay. I think let's go with the catches, the receptions first.
Yep.
I think somebody like Jamal Banks is going to lead the team in receptions. Yep. But I don't think he's going to lead the team in receiving yards, because I think he's going to kind of stick close to the line of scrimmage and not really go too far down the field, maybe past 15 yards. I think he's going to use his body, his size, 6'4", 220 pounds. He's more of a possession receiver, in my opinion. So I'll go with Jamal Banks for team leader in receptions. For receiving yards, man, that's interesting. I'm going to go with Isaiah Nair, because I think he brings that big playability down the field. We all know about his speed. He torched Mountain West defenses when he played at Wyoming. And you know, the thought is he could do the same against Big Ten defenses. Again, just a physical freak. He looks incredible. 6'4", 220 pounds, long limbs. He has plenty of length and the speed on top of that. So I think he could be that big play guy down the field. So two veterans leading the way in the receiver room. Jamal Banks leading with receptions, and Isaiah Nair with receiving yards.
All right, then last two. What happens on Saturday? And then what's the season prediction, if you want to give that?
Okay, season prediction. I've been kind of on the fence, 7-5, 8-4. I think I'll go 8-4.
Okay.
And then on Saturday, my official prediction, we just got done filming over at Inside Nebraska for a podcast. I'll go with Nebraska wins 31-14. I think UTEP gets a late touchdown on Nebraska's second team defense.
That's how it feels. Like, it feels like Saturday, I like Scotty Walden. I like hearing him speak. I like maybe, you know, what his future looks like at just 34 years old, but it feels like Nebraska should handle this game on Saturday, and it wouldn't be surprising to see them score 35 plus.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing that I keep trying to tell myself when I talk about this stuff is, you know, it's a season opener. Like, who the heck knows what's going to happen? And, you know, and rightly so, that the tackle, you know, topic gets brought up this week, because it's going to be the first actual football game that these guys play for both sides. It's not going to be surprising if the tackling is sloppy at all. It's almost to be expected, so you never quite know. I mean, the game might be a little bit closer than fans want at halftime, but you know, I think Nebraska, I mean, they're the superior team. They have the better athletes. They're going to pull away with this thing, but I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a two score game, maybe at halftime or maybe late third quarter. You know, Scotty Walden, like you said, Nick, he's a great coach. I really like listening to him talk ball. And, you know, last season, I really appreciated what they showed in Knoxville, playing at a packed Tennessee game. And, you know, that they were in that game in the fourth quarter too. So It was really kind of cool to look. So Scotty Walden is no stranger to getting his team ready. He's an energetic guy. He sort of reminds me of PJ Fleck just on the sideline with his energy and stuff like that. So Husker fans are going to like watching him on the sideline, and they're going to like watching his team too because they're fun. Got a lot of new faces over there. They bring back a lot of returning pieces too at UT. UTEP. Maurice Westmoreland is an edge guy who I think is an NFL player. He's going to give a great look to Nebraska starting offensive tackles and Bryce Benhart and Turner Corcoran. So that's going to be a fun matchup to watch. It's going to be a fun day. I'm ready for some football. I don't know about you guys.
Well, here we are. I would say like, I'm surprised that this weekend hasn't felt like it's taken longer. It feels like it's going at a pretty good clip. And maybe it's because we have press conferences and coaches and coordinators talking every single day. We'll hear from Matt Rhule tomorrow. Is there any burning questions that like Matt Rhule is going to answer tomorrow that's on the top of your mind?
Well, I think he'll obviously have to talk about Mack Markway, the transfer tight end from LSU. Just, everybody's kind of wondering, is he eligible? Is he not? Mm-hmm. He's a talented recruit. He was a four-star prospect a couple years ago. He played in 12 games at LSU last season as a true freshman, started a handful of them. He caught three passes for 16 yards and a touchdown. I kind of view him more as like a really strong inline blocking tight end. And, you know, if he stays at Nebraska I think he might be in for a redshirt year this year, but then eligible in 2025. But if he sticks here at Nebraska, I think that might maybe open up a possibility of somebody like Carter Nelson just fully transitioning into a receiver, a big-bodied receiver. And then Mack Markway would be that another addition in the tight end room that would kind of excel at being that blocker that Carter Nelson, I don't think, is. So, exciting times at Nebraska. But, I think Matt Rhule is going to have to answer that Mack Markway question.
There's a lot that we didn't get to. I mean, we didn't get to Janier and Bonner. We didn't get to a lot of things that certainly are – our hot topics of conversation this week. All right, Steve, hey man, we'll let you go. Appreciate the time as always. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks, Rico.
There he is. Steve Mark of Inside Nebraska. Appreciate his time as always. Yeah. Didn't get to Janier and Bonner. Didn't get to ask him about Mack Markway.
Nope.
But there's certainly more time for that coming down the road. All right, let's step aside. When we come back, we talk to Austin and Strick, get you guys ready for On the Block with those two. When we come back, as always, want to thank our sponsors from Empire Fence and Netting for their support of the program. As always, we'll step aside. Come right back with Happy Hour 93.7 The Ticket.